You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. Let's do this thing. Got a lot of stuff to get to on the program today. We're in a fantasy frame of mind this afternoon. Chris Meaney's going to join me in studio. I'm a big fan of his fantasy value pack. We're going to take a look at the menu, see what's on the menu as far as Chris Meaney is concerned. Week 7 of the National Football League. We'll talk about the games. We'll talk about some fantasy football from a DFS perspective with Meaney. We'll talk some NHL hockey with Chris Meaney. The Montreal Canadiens nearly gave me a heart attack yesterday, actually. I got pretty fired up during that opening monologue in the program yesterday. And I mean every word of it. Although Chris Meaney said, "What's this I hear about you kicking my dog?" I said, no, if I would have kicked your dog, you would have been less upset. But Meaney's come around right now. He's like, yeah, I know, and I'll tell you what, we're going to surprise people with our pick tonight because we're betting on the Canadians. That's right. Tonight's the spot. They get it done against the Ducks. Ducks got a lot of injuries. I like the under in this game, but the oddsmakers do as well, as the total is 5. Steve Merrill is going to step up and in. Steve Merrill is going to join us. We're going to run the gauntlet literally and figuratively with Steve Merrill. We've got 4 college football games on the board. We've got a Major League Baseball game on the board that I believe is a pretty important baseball game, actually. Severino and Justin Verlander. I thought the number was too low earlier this morning. The Astros were minus 135. People are starting to figure it out right now. It's up to minus 145. I think it's going to continue to climb, actually. And I do like the Houston Astros in this spot. We're going to talk baseball, college football, NFL football with Steve Merrill. We'll talk a little NASCAR, Martin Truex. It's inevitable, man. Truex is going to win this thing. Martin Truex Jr. dominates on these tracks. They're going to Hollywood, except not California, Kansas. We're going to break that down. Ton of stuff to get to on the program today. But, of course, the NBA season has begun, and the long-awaited debut of the greatest college basketball player slash rookie to come into the league, I would say, I don't know, Wilt Chamberlain, Jerry West, Michael Jordan. I think, basically Lonzo Ball is Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, and Michael Jordan rolled into one, isn't he? He must be, right? I mean, he's charging $500 for his shoes. He must be great. Wrong! Well, Lonzo Ball's debut last night went pretty much the way that we thought it would, with him sucking rocks. As he scored 3 points. Yeah, he had 9 rebounds. I'm going to give you credit for the 9 rebounds, and there's no sarcastic punchline coming. It's impressive, 9 rebounds, very impressive for a guard. So, the numbers are there. And I'll tell you, from a fantasy perspective, he's actually going to put up numbers, even though he's a freaking train wreck. Okay? So, Lonzo Ball. Lonzo Ball played 29 minutes last night. He was minus 14. All right, so they're outscored by 14 points when he was on the floor. He was minus 14. For the record, Patrick Beverley, who Lonzo Ball was matched up against, played 29 minutes. He was plus 20, okay? So he's plus 20. Lonzo's minus 14. We're talking about a differential of 34, guys, all right? So man on man, you were minus 34 in that spot. I know that Lonzo Ball's I was going to call them nut huggers, but I don't know. Let's call them what? Ball lickers. I know that you ball lickers out there, you see no wrong with Lonzo's game. And I love the defense of Lonzo Ball. It's his first game, man. He's a kid. How come you're not ripping all the other rookies, Morenci, after their first games? Well, I don't know. Is Josh Jackson charging $500 for a shoe? Is Josh Jackson's father a stupid jackass moron punk? I don't know. Is Jason Tatum talking smack about Nas? Like, really? Does Markelle Fultz have a reality TV show? Like, come on, man. And you guys want to give Ball credit for doing nothing. And I don't know. I guess the same people that like Lonzo Ball, I guess you guys are the type of guys that think, I don't know, that the Kardashians are, like, talented or something. Yeah, they're talented of giving oral sex to NBA basketball players. All right, great talent. You know what? They're Hall of Famers, actually, at that. I'm going to give them that. But, like, what has Lonzo Ball done? What did UCLA do? Nothing. What did Lonzo Ball do in the NCAA tournament? He got torched, man. He got smoked like a blunt in the back of Willie Nelson's tour bus by De'Aaron Fox. I can't wait to see him play De'Aaron Fox again, but They didn't play him in the summer league against De'Aaron Fox. It was funny last week in the preseason. Lonzo conveniently didn't play once again against De'Aaron Fox. Now, it's funny. You guys can only hide him for so long. Patrick Beverley welcomed him to the NBA last night. And, hey, Beverley, I wouldn't go too crazy about shutting down Lonzo Ball, all right? But nevertheless, Lonzo Ball's like, he can't defend. He can't shoot. That's a problem in the NBA. The Lakers are going to be terrible. Lay the points tonight, gentlemen. Lay the points, boys. We got ourselves a winner tonight with Phoenix. But as far as Lonzo Ball is concerned, I don't want to pick on this kid, but I don't have a damn choice. I don't have a choice. You know, it's not his father's fault anymore. I said this last year. Lonzo Ball, you're a man, all right? You're a man. You know, your father doesn't speak for you anymore. I know when Lonzo Ball is looking for his father. Daddy, there's a guy, he's playing rough with me. I don't know what to do. I thought Lonzo was going to cry last night. That's just game one, baby. That's just game one. Yeah, you got Beverly, and Beverly might be one of the biggest jerks in the NBA, actually. So it was a horrific matchup for you. But whatever, on a nightly basis. You don't think Eric Bledsoe's sitting here thinking, oh, God. Like honestly, Lonzo Ball has some serious-ass problems, and it's going to suck for him because he's going to get the Johnny Manziel treatment. The same jackass, parasite, douchebag media members, and I know who you are. You all, Lonzo this, Lonzo that. Oh, you got to draft Lonzo. And as soon as Lonzo sucks, you're all going to ditch him. Just like all the fantasy jackals. Adrian Peterson sucks. Got to sign AP now. I love the analysis this morning. Oh, looks like Cooper's back. Jump on Cooper. God, I hate the media. So all you in the media that built him up, you're going to tear him down. And you're just, oh, yeah, look at Lonzo Ball. Yeah, but you didn't say that before. I did. I said this since day one. Lonzo Ball's a bust. Shouldn't have been in the second pick. You know, the kid's not a bad kid. He should have been drafted like eighth or ninth. But if the L.A. Lakers are under some, and Laker fans, wake up, man. You guys really think you're going to the playoffs? Playoffs? You're terrible. You look like you're worse than last year. The Clippers are a new team. They smoked you. And then you got LaVar after the game saying, oh, who the hell is Patrick Beverley? Who the hell are you, dude? It's one NBA game. Keep your mouth shut. Why don't you stay in your lane? He says, oh, the only reason anybody's talking about Patrick Beverley because his name is attached to my son. Who is Patrick Beverley? Well, let me explain to you, Mr. LaVar Ball. Patrick Beverley is a professional athlete. Patrick Beverley had enough skills to make it to the NBA. Patrick Beverley is one of the best defensive players in the NBA. Patrick Beverley is a multimillionaire. None of the above, which you are. That's who Patrick Beverley is. What you are is equivalent of a pimp that feasts off of a prostitute selling her sexual wares in her body. Your son sells his body, you cash in on it. You are nothing but a pimp and a clown. And your son, well, your son's going to spend a lot of time on the bench. Otherwise, the Lakers are going to lose by 40 every night. Hey, are we having fun yet, Lonzo? We having fun yet? Maybe it's the shoes. Maybe it's the shoes. I'm going to enjoy the ride. Have fun, Lonzo. Game time decision continues.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one where you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I'm Gabriel Morenzo. We're going to have some fun today talking sports. Chris Meany's going to join me in studio. It's a looser show today, but when isn't a looser show? All right. So yeah, we got a little fired up off the top of the program again. But yeah, Alonzo Ball sucks, all right? He's overhyped. He sucks. And so do people that like him. I've said it. There we go. Give me the Phoenix Suns tonight. I see I got my plays of the day here, and I didn't put the I didn't put the NBA in. I'm flustered, man. There's so much going on with the football, and we got a big baseball game today, NASCAR, NFL football, NBA basketball is back, NHL hockey. Let's bring in Steve Merrill right now, ProSportsInfo.com, one of the cover's experts, and we'll talk NASCAR as well. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, a lot of sports going on. It's the only time of year, the next couple of weeks, where you get football, baseball, and basketball at one time. I keep telling my guys it's the best time to be an all-sports client.
No, it is. It's the best time of the year to be a sports fan and better as well. And Ted Savransky joined us yesterday. He brought up something interesting. It was only the 17th time ever yesterday, 17th day ever that, and I guess today would be 18, that all the major sports were in action on the same night.
You mean college and pro football, I guess?
No, not even including the college pro football.
Well, I'm surprised it's only that amount. Although
I'm talking about NBA. You know, there was an NBA game last night, NHL games, Major League Baseball.
Oh, NHL, gotcha.
And
yeah,
NHL.
Pro sports.
And I thought same thing initially. I'm like, well, how can this be? But the NBA tipped off 2 weeks earlier than normal. So usually we might have a couple of nights like that in late October, early November. But now we're getting a bunch of them.
Yeah, we talked about that Monday. You know, I said it was the eve of the NBA season. I go, boy, they're starting early this year. You're exactly right. It would have been Tuesday, October 31st in years past. So I guess it's not surprising. But, yeah, that's pretty amazing that there's been that few times it's happened. But the NBA definitely started earlier this year for some reason. I guess it's the less back-to-back situation.
Exactly. There were a lot of problems over the last couple of years with players sitting in the back-to-back situations and fans getting upset. I don't think this is going to really ultimately change that. But – the back-to-backs were a little ridiculous last year, but now the season's just too long. Okay, so now you've got back. The best NBA season when it was shortened, man, when it was like 52 games that year.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And I remember LeBron even said after, we should really, you know, I really think we should have a shorter season, maybe like 62 or something like that, which I totally get, but it's easy for the players to say that. All right, are you guys going to take 18% less money, right? You know, how do you do it? Because everyone says the same thing. You know, about the hockey season, and people don't say it about baseball. Baseball's perfect, but about hockey and NBA, everybody says the same thing. It's too long. They should shorten the season. Okay, so let's say they go from 82 games to 70 games even, which would be a nice, it would make a big difference. Let's say they go to 70 games. That's 12 games of revenue gone right there. So how are we going to handle this? Are the players going to take less money? I doubt it. Are the fans, do you want to pay 12% more now for the other games? Maybe they will. Maybe they do. But that's something that we're going to have to discuss in the future.
Yeah, I think it's pretty interesting. Like, where do the, you know, hockey does 82 as well. Like, where did that magic number of 82 originally come from 30-some years ago when we had less teams and it was less TV, less ticket prices? So it's kind of a random number. But I think what is important, especially in the NBA, I mean, hockey somewhat, but you got more star power in the NBA. For the non-conference games, you have to let those other teams see LeBron at least once a season. You know, back in the day, they wanted to see Kobe once a season on the East Coast. What you could do is cut some of the conference games, but even then, you only play the other conference teams four times at most, sometimes only three.
Exactly. They have cut it down.
So that's where it gets tricky.
It used to be like five, right? And they have cut that down. And it's funny, you know, there's no right answers, but you're right. Because people talk, that, you know, especially in the NHL, they talked about this. People love the rivalries. Dude, I grew up watching the Montreal Canadiens and the Boston Bruins. Like, if I see these two teams play again, I'll put a gun in my head. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, yeah.
I don't want to see it anymore. Like, baseball, this rivalry crap. I've seen it over and over and over. I'm tired of it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the most ridiculous thing was baseball having 162 games, and they didn't even play the other league. And they played twice as many games as hockey and basketball until recently. They didn't even play the NL. And they still should play every NLT in the AL, as far as I'm concerned. Now, what gets tricky there is that you have a three-game minimum series.
Yeah, but then it used to make the World Series cool, right? And the All-Star game cool. Now, interleague play has changed that. But, yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, and it is. And by the way, Gabe, speaking of National League, American League, I was watching Wade Davis's at-bat the other night against the Dodgers in Game 4, I believe.
Yeah.
And he fouled the ball off five times. The fans are getting all excited. And then the last one shook his hands a little bit. He just took a strike three right down the middle. I mean, what a farce it is having these pitchers hit in baseball.
Yeah, I'll disagree with you on that. I'm not a fan of the designated hitter.
It's not ideal. Hey, look, from a technical perspective, I'm opposed to it as well. But I think it just like the quarterback protection rules, I'm opposed to those, you know, over the years. But
you look at a guy like Madison Bumgarner that can hit, and it makes a difference, right? I mean, whoever said that pitchers have to be big wusses and not able to hit?
But
whoever said that? Like, they conceded this on their own for some reason.
I'll tell you what changed my mind about 10, 15 years ago. I had some friends, actually longer than that, late 90s, that were college baseball players I knew. They were in the major league system, and one of them was the number four hitter at William & Mary. He was also a pitcher, but he was their best hitter in college. And he got into the Braves minor league system as a closer. They wouldn't even let him pick up a bat anymore, he told me.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what changed my view on that, because at that point it's just becoming a farce, you know, to even have him hit.
You know, they should bunt every time, you know, to me. I've seen pitchers, these guys can hit home runs during batting practice and stuff. And like you said, most of the guys in Major League Baseball, you know, every guy in Major League Baseball
probably great hitters.
Was the stud guy on their high school team, you know, little league, you know what I mean? So
even
exactly.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, every pitcher, you know, in the big leagues will tell you, "Oh yeah, I hit 500 when I was 14." Or every outfielder guy will tell you, "Oh yeah, I threw a no-hitter when I was 12." You know what I mean? Like it's the same way in the NFL. You know, almost every DB and stuff was the star quarterback and running back in high school. You work
exactly
your way
right.
up. By the time you get to the top, there's always someone better than you at that. Great example is hockey, Steve. You know, like people think like hockey fighters and stuff like that. Oh, they're just fighters. And people don't know it, man. Like, you know, there was a guy, Sergio Mimeso in Montreal. He's from my neighborhood. And, you know, he made it to the NHL. He won a Stanley Cup with the Rangers. And he was just known sort of as a tough guy, slug, you know, just another guy in the league type of deal. When he was a kid, man, he was scoring 90 goals a year and stuff. You know, but you get to the NHL, you're not as good as the other guys. That's the way it works. There's always someone better than you.
No question. That once again just shows what an incredible elite level all these pro athletes are.
Yes, that's the thing people don't realize, man. Like, it's such another level. All right, so speaking of which, well, I don't know if this is on another level here with Western Kentucky.
Let's talk sucked out in Conference USA football.
Oh, God. You know, what the hell's going on? Why are Old Dominion and Western Kentucky playing each other?
It's a blackout tonight, Gabe. It's a blackout in Norfolk. They're hyped for this game. Four-game losing streak. They're looking to snap it tonight.
Yeah, so this is in your backyard. You know all about this. So give us some info.
Well, it's the only conference team they've never beaten, actually, Western Kentucky. And they definitely are on a slide right now. Old Dominion, as I said, has lost four in a row. It's a sellout blackout national TV game tonight, so they're hyped about it. The question is, can they do anything about it? Western Kentucky is definitely the best team still in the conference. These two played last year, and Old Dominion lost 59-24. And by the way, the only team North Carolina has beaten or covered against this year is Old Dominion, and they beat them by 30. So that kind of tells you what you need to know about the Monarchs. So it's a hyped game for them. I'm just not sure they're good enough to do anything about it.
I'm not ready to pull the trigger on a side here, but I find the total's a little low at 49.
Problem is Old Dominion's not a shootout team anymore. They've scored 3 points or less in two of their last three games.
I see that. I know. And you used to be able to count on that offense, actually. Their quarterback.
Yeah, they're not good defensively at all, but their offense is struggling too.
The quarterback, what's his name? Heinicke. Yeah, that's the kid, Heinicke. I think he's a backup.
Yeah, went to the Vikings, I think, for a little bit.
Yeah, he's there now. He's still there. Yeah, he made the team. I don't know, practice roster, but I guess now he's probably third string or whatever the hell it is. Okay, this next one, Marshall in Middle Tennessee. Marshall playing some good football this year, Steve. What do you think of this? I like Marshall here.
Yeah, Marshall actually just beat Old Dominion in the last game 35-3. That was one of those low-scoring games for Old Dominion. Middle Tennessee, who knows what to make of them? I had Syracuse back in week two as an 8-point home favorite. They lose outright to Middle Tennessee. And then I watched Syracuse win outright at home against Clemson last week. And I'm thinking, why couldn't they have done that when I had them against Middle Tennessee? So this has been a team that has alternated wins and losses every game this year, Gabe. They're coming off a 2-point loss last week. If that holds up, they win this week.
Interesting. Interesting. All right, Air Force and Nevada. This is a real train wreck of a game, man. This is not a good Air Force team. They're 2-4. And Nevada are 1-6. I was on Nevada last week, Steve, as crazy as it was. I jumped on the in-game. It was a late-night DJ on Saturday night. All right, what's going on the board here? And I saw Nevada was getting, I was getting like 17 with Nevada. I actually took them on the money line as well. I was like, you know what? Screw this. I'm going to jump in here. I got it in the in-game. So the game was 7-7 or something. I said, you know, they're already hanging. And they hung with Colorado State down to the wire. But they really, truthfully, are a poorly coached football team. Now you got this Air Force team. This is an ugly game here, man. What do you make of this one?
Well, it's a bad setup for Nevada, even though they're at home on the short week, because as you said, that Colorado State game was a shootout. They lose 44-42. They gave up 508 passing yards, only gave up 56 rushing yards. So now they're facing a totally different type of opponent in Air Force that runs the ball every play. With that said, though, Air Force is not a good team. I actually had UNLV in my line watch article last week on covers.com.
Yep.
UNLV had a 27-0 lead in the first half and lost 34-30. So UNLV really was taking it to them. Air Force has not beaten a Division 1A team all season until last week, and even then they were trailing 27-0 as a home favorite. So tough call here, not a good spot for either team.
I think it's, if I had to, I would take Nevada plus the points and hope for the best. You know, honestly.
I think the over, too, probably over 66. I mean, yeah. I doubt Nevada can stop that option on a short week.
Yeah, and Nevada's offense can score as well, actually. It's the one thing they had going. Their offense isn't bad. They can move the ball. All right, so I guess by definition, this might be the best game of the night, the late game.
Yeah, I mean, by default, it's the ESPN2 game, and it'd probably be the only one that's somewhat competitive. Well, I mean, they all might be competitive, but these are probably the two best teams playing tonight.
Yeah, Colorado State versus New Mexico, the Lobos. Lobos are weird. I mean, the Lobos have had a nice year. They had the controversy around their coach, but seems like there was more smoke than fire around Davey. Davey's a good guy. I don't know. He's not abusing anybody. And, you know, they were saying verbal abuse or whatever. No one knew. There were allegations of player mistreatment, and everyone said, I don't know what, and even the players, like all these guys that played with Dave, everyone said, I don't know what anyone's talking about. They said, the guy's the nicest guy, and I think it turned out there was one kid that wasn't happy, that he didn't like the way he was treated at the school, and he didn't get playing time, and blah, blah, and you know the deal. He made a big stink out of it, but it looks like Davey's going to get out of this, no problem. Colorado State, you mentioned it. They won by 2 points last week. They couldn't stop Nevada. Now you get a New Mexico team that can run the ball on anybody, Steve. New Mexico can run the football efficiently. The number's high here, I guess, because the Lobos got shut out last week, but I don't mind that. That's going to happen.
Yeah, I think the line's inflated because of last week's results. If you look at statistically offense and defense, these teams are pretty close, and New Mexico actually the much better defensive team. The concern, I guess, I would have is that Colorado State's weakness this year has been a terrible pass defense. Their run defense has been decent. So New Mexico runs the ball most of the time, as you said. But I still think on a short week, having to travel, it's a tough spot to be laying more than a touchdown. And, by the way, this is Colorado State's fourth road game in the past five.
Yeah, I like the over in this one, too. I think the scoreboard operator is going to be busy up there tonight.
Well, whenever a team gets shut out like that, you probably get some value with the over in the next game as well.
Yeah, people remember what happened too much in the past. That's why I was on the Raiders last night.
Yeah, and the overcast in that game after a bad offensive performance last week. They put up, only 16 last week, put up over 30
exactly.
Last night.
People, oh, did you see them play last week? I don't care. You're not betting on what happened last week. You're betting on what's going to happen this week. So speaking of which, I know you do your Carolina hit every Friday. I like this Panther team, except I saw a story. I think we talked about it on covers.com about the covers consensus is getting killed this year. If you fade the covers consensus, you're up like 70%. You're winning 70% of the time. I don't like to see the 75% of the consensus on the Carolina Panthers here, but I feel like it's a good spot for the Panthers. I do need to find out if Luke Kuechly is going to play or not, though. He really makes such a big difference to that defense.
Yeah, and I'm really surprised, actually, Carolina is that much of a public favorite this week. You have them coming off that ugly national TV loss against the Eagles last week that everybody saw, and then you have the Bears coming off a straight-up road dog win in Baltimore. So I'm a little surprised that the public is jumping on Carolina. It'll be interesting to see on Sunday if that's still the
Kuechly's
most public
out.
Play.
We can confirm Kuechly's out.
And that's a concern as well because, as you know, the public doesn't pay attention to that stuff, and that's a legitimate injury. Their defense has been much weaker with him the last couple of seasons without him in the lineup.
We're getting the injury reports coming across the wire now. Jameis Winston officially will play. Buccaneers announced this about 2 hours ago, Steve.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously that makes a difference. And speaking of Winston, you know, he had a bad game a few weeks ago, and I thought he bounced back after that. Carolina had a terrible game from Cam Newton last Thursday. I like the fact they have the mini bye week coming in this Sunday. But Kuechly out concerns me, and obviously being a public play concerns me.
And, you know, as a Buffalo Bill fan, I don't know, maybe the number comes down a little bit because there were some potential fours. Not everybody wanted to put numbers up, but there were some soft fours out there with the Bills against the Bucks, with Ryan Fitzpatrick tentatively going to be the quarterback in that game. Now that Jameis Winston's in, maybe it comes back down to three again and I can buy in on the Buffalo Bills. I thought it was a more dangerous game for the Bills with Ryan Fitzpatrick than Winston. Winston's not mobile. He's not playing very well this year. He's You know, it's on the road. He's injured. He's coming back. He's kind of rushing back right now. The Buffalo Bill defense can really get after it. Winston doesn't make good decisions in the pocket. He's a ballsy kid. Like, he'll stay in the pocket and he'll get hit. But he's slow to read the defense. He's got open guys. I don't have any confidence in their offensive coordinator, Todd Monken, at all. I don't like Dirk Koetter as a coach. Buffalo coming off the bye. But with Fitzpatrick doesn't care. He's a backup. He'll throw the ball. He doesn't care about throwing three touchdowns and three picks. So he feared me more and plus he's a former Bill and he liked his ticket to us. So as a Bills fan, I think it's a more winnable game now that Winston's playing, believe it or not.
Yeah, and this line is popping up as we speak. It's 3 now, Buffalo.
See?
Minus 3.
Perfect. I knew it. Yep.
Even minus 105. So I don't think it'll hit 2.5, but it's heading that way. Totals at 44, which is a pretty big total for Buffalo. As you mentioned, their defense has been fantastic. They're giving up 14.5 points a game. Problem is they're only averaging 17.5. Now, with that said, they are coming off the bye week, as you mentioned, and one thing I like in the NFL is overs after a bye week, especially when you've been struggling offensively. So tough call there. I mean, obviously under 44 is pretty tempting, but you got to wonder how much Buffalo worked on that offense in the off week.
What are you making of the line movement with New Orleans and Green Bay? Everybody loved the Saints earlier in the week. It was 6. Now it's down to 4 with Brett Hundley, a quarterback for the Pack.
Yeah, I mean, sources in Vegas are saying Green Bay normally would have been a 6-point home favorite in this game with Aaron Rodgers. Now they're a 4-point home dog. So that's a 10-point adjustment. Now, Aaron Rodgers isn't worth 10 points, but the difference between Aaron Rodgers and Brett Hundley probably is worth 10 points because Hundley is below average, at least what we've seen from limited starts in the NFL, or no starts, but limited play in the NFL. He looked terrible last week coming off the bench. Now, you can give him a pass in Minnesota unprepared. His preseason numbers were a little bit better. He had an average rating in the 80s, but that was against a lot of backups. So it looks like a pretty substantial drop without Rodgers in the lineup.
But it's a favorable defensive matchup for him against the Saints, and it is at Lambeau. My deal, I'm not overly concerned about Hundley. I think he'll be all right. But they have a lot of injuries on the defensive side of the football, on the secondary, on the offensive line, and they have the bye week coming up, the Packers. So, I think the Packers are going to go out there and give it their best. And if they lose, and they know it's not going well, I think they'll probably tap out and McCarthy will think, all right, we'll shut this down. We got the bye week and we'll figure things out and we'll get healthier.
Yeah, it's just one of those games. The one edge I say you always have against the odds makers is they have to put a number up. You don't have to play every game. And, boy, just too much uncertainty for me. I kind of get a feeling that the line is overinflated, and that Hundley's not as bad as he looked. But then again, I'm not sure I'm willing to risk real money on that theory.
Major League Baseball tonight, New York Yankees back in business. And the Yankees are a win away from a World Series appearance. And it would take on a Los Angeles Dodgers team that they had played, of course, many times. In the World Series. I think they played each other 11 times, actually, which is, quite a rivalry. And I brought it up earlier, actually. I said it's best rivalry in baseball. And our cameraman whose history of the world goes back to about 2014, Steve. And I'm being a little bit generous there. I'm being a little bit generous by saying 2014. I think he has no idea how special a Dodgers-Yankees World Series would be to baseball purists.
I don't think many people do. The last time the Dodgers were in the World Series was 1988. You're talking about 29 years. There's a lot of viewers of our show right now that are barely 29 years old.
That's a good point. How old are you, Drew? How old are our cameramen? So, wow, you weren't even born.
Exactly.
And you know what's crazy? To me, it feels like yesterday, that game. I remember where I was, Gibson at the home run.
I do, too.
I remember, everything, and that's crazy. 3 years before our cameraman was even born, that happened.
Did that home run come off of Eckersley, by the way?
Yeah.
Yeah, because remember we were talking about him becoming a good relief pitcher, and I thought he was pitching for the A's in that game,
I told you, that's when the term walk-off was invented. Because remember, no one ever said walk-off home run. Yeah.
I didn't know I was that old.
Dennis Eckersley was asked, what happened? He said, I threw it, he hit it, and I walked off.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I never knew that was the first time that term. I would have thought it was much, much older.
Yeah, no, it's Dennis Eckersley threw it out there. That was basically it. I threw
That's
it, he
cool.
hit it, we walked off. He was mad when he said it. What do you want me to tell you? I threw the pitch, he hit it, we walked off the field. You know what I mean? He sort of relived it. And term walk-off home run.
I was even shocked, to be honest, that it's been 29 years. I mean, I couldn't think of when they've been in it since, because obviously they weren't, but I didn't feel like the Dodgers had been off that long. There's been so many weird teams like the Marlins, the D-backs.
Especially for a team, it was so storied. And it's not like the Dodgers have, like, tried not to. You know what I mean? They have some big-time franchises that were big-time franchises, but they don't care anymore.
Right.
It's not like the Dodgers ever stopped trying. You know what I mean? Like, they've been trying for the last 30 years. They never said, well, we're the Dodgers. We'll, like the Montreal Canadiens in hockey, they fleece their fans. Like, the Dodgers have tried every year for 29 years, Steve, and just been not good enough.
Well, they've had the best pitcher in baseball for the last 5 or 6 years, and Kershaw as well, is why it's surprising.
And one of the highest payrolls in baseball for, the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah, I think what's questionable is, do the Yankees get it done or not?
No.
The road team is 1-10 so far in Yankee playoff games, so they're up against it, even having to only win one of these next two in Houston.
I like Verlander, Steve. It was 35. It's up to 45 right now. I locked it in already. I took the Houston Astros.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that line was so cheap because they've got Houston's problem has been offense. They've scored five runs their last five games. I think they've scored 9 runs. Anyway, it's their coldest five-game stretch of the entire season, 170-plus games. And we always talk about offensive momentum in baseball. They don't have it right now. They've gone cold at the wrong time. But they've got the pitcher on the mound tonight, and Verlander can win a 1-0 game if needed.
All right, we got a minute or two here, Steve. So at NASCAR, they're going to Hollywood, except not California. Hollywood, Kansas. Mile-and-a-half track. Well, we know who owns these tracks, Martin Truex Jr.
Yeah, I said it doesn't take more than a minute to talk about this race. It's a cookie. It's the ultimate cookie cutter mile and a half. Truex Jr. has been an automatic play. Kyle Busch has been almost as good. And then Kyle Larson's been pretty close as well. And that's why all three are heavy favorites. Kevin Harvick's been very good here as well. And a guy like Chase Elliott's been good on these tracks this year. If you're looking for a long shot quickly at over 20-1, Eric Jones, Truex's teammate, has the same horsepower and stuff as the best driver on the circuit.
Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com. He's also one of the cover's experts. You can find his best bets over there. Steve, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for the time. Enjoy the games.
Thanks, Gabe.
Steve Merrill with us. We take a quick break. Chris Meaney joins us in studio next.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at Roto Experts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. As you can see, we're very comfortable right now sitting in our DX, our racers. Meanie, great. Yeah, you know what? I'm not much of a video gamer, but I am a gamer, so I wouldn't mind just kick back watching games in this.
And the pillow actually, it hurt my back at first because I think my back was so messed up. But now, it feels good.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point that you raise, actually, because as anyone who watches me knows, I have very good posture. But I got bad posture. Yet, I don't like sitting upright.
Right.
Like, you know when you're sitting on a bus or something, it's annoying?
Yeah.
You're like, man, why am I so uncomfortable? Because I got to sit normally. Like, I don't like that. I'm a sloucher. I'm like a teamster. I'm one of these type dudes.
Yeah.
These
are nice.
I don't mind sitting upright in this DX racer.
Yeah, because it feels good.
The only thing that's missing that I was a little disappointed, I got to be honest with you, and I know the company's probably watching, I was sort of under the impression that there was kind of like a jetpack in this. Like DX racer. That's the only thing missing.
The next edition.
Yeah, I could just sort of get up and go over and kick Drew in the head. Just lightly, jokingly, of course, bozo.
Camera to Drew doesn't think the Yankees and the Dodgers.
No, not a real rivalry, he says.
Yeah.
Because they haven't played since 81. in the World Series. So
it'd be really cool to see those two teams play in the World Series. It'd be really cool to see.
Oh, yeah. Now, the history between these two, going back to the Brooklyn Dodgers and the New York Yankees, and I don't know, Drew, I'd say, like, I can't save this kid.
No.
I was going to say, you know, maybe you should watch this movie or read the book.
Yeah.
You ever heard of the Boys of Summer, Drew?
Besides the
Don Henley song,
yeah,
which
I was
going to
say, that's a song, right?
Yeah,
but he thinks Red Hot Chili Peppers. He thinks it's the
Ataris that do it, does it? Out of all the bands, you might know the Ataris, right? No. No. You're a Blink 182 fan. The Ataris are from the same crap ass genre for kids like you.
That's a good toss.
If I do it again,
man, it was...
Twix!
That one was off.
I should have quit while I was ahead. Dober.games. Fantasy sports just got a lot easier to play and win with honest new games by Dober.games. No more long lineups. No more bozos like Cameron 2, Drew, getting in your tournament. Just pick three matchups and win cash prizes. All right, I like this format. Dober.games, one of the fastest and easiest ways to play daily fantasy sports. Use promo code PUNT to enter a free contest with cash prizes just for joining. That's promo code PUNT. You can win cash fast and easy at Dober.games. Sign up now at Dober.games. Win money. Head-to-head fantasy matchups. Let's talk some fantasy football right now. I'm a fan of your value menu. So what do you got going on in the value menu this week?
So I was looking at the quarterback position. I was giving some love to your Bills, actually. You know, Tyrod Taylor, he doesn't seem to have that upside to win you the GPP, which is a little concerning, but he's so cheap that he doesn't need to do much to return value. I mean, we're talking about the Bucs and how bad they are defensively and some of the weapons around. Maybe Jordan Matthews comes back and that helps him. He could move around. He only really needs
to... Is there a chance? I don't know if Matthews can be back, though.
There is a chance that Matthews can be back. And even still, if he doesn't play, you know, LeSean McCoy has
been
heavily
targeted.
There's no Charles
Clay. That's my... I hear everywhere you're going with this.
Yeah. Nick O'Leary. I know how much you like tight ends. Listen... For Tyrod Taylor, I understand if you don't want to go that way. I'm a huge fan of what's going on in Tennessee and Marcus Mariota being back. His worst game was 14 fantasy points. Cleveland allowing the most fantasy points to quarterbacks.
Every quarterback that's played Cleveland has been top four at the end of the week.
Yeah. Andy Dalton had four touchdown passes against him. Everybody has kind of gone off. And no, Jason McCourty. McCourty tweaked his ankle today. That's huge.
But Tyrod can run around and stuff.
That's exactly where I was going with this. For Tyrod, if you don't want to spend up, and you're looking at the Sunday night and the Monday night, those four quarterbacks are going to be off that millionaire slate.
Yeah.
So, you have to kind of get creative. Mariota and Dak are going to be highly owned. For Tyrod Taylor, he just needs to move around a little bit. He just needs to hook up with LeSean McCoy a couple times. Nick O'Leary, I've noticed, and you know how much you like Charles Clay and how good Charles Clay was doing. When Clay left that last game.
O'Leary had six targets.
Six targets, five catches, 54 yards. He was heavily targeted.
Doesn't wear gloves.
Tyrod Taylor
old
doesn't
school.
Wear gloves. And Drew's telling me every single day, the Golden Bears' grandson. Jack
I was going to say that. I'm surprised that the only reason because Drew would not even know who the Golden Bear is. All right? Did you know the Golden Bear? No. I bet you only know this because you think that Jack Nicklaus is Nick O'Leary's grandfather. That's the way this works, right? Yeah, it's true. He does watch golf.
He knows it's true. Listen, for Nick O'Leary...
I'm always amazed that people don't know that. Yeah, that's Jack Nicklaus's grandkid, Florida State Seminole.
Yeah, pretty cool. But it's this is the price, right? Like, nobody is actually cheaper on FanDuel, and he's $3,100 on DraftKings.
Yeah,
it allows you to spend up on some other guys. But there, I mentioned the Titans. I like Decker. I like Matthews, especially if no McCourty. I like some of these running backs that last week in McKinnon and Ingram were very cheap. Now their prices jumped up, but I still think that they're affordable and they can return value. You can run on the Packers, and you can run on the Ravens. You can run on those two teams. And for Jerick McKinnon, 11 catches in his last two games.
Nah, 43 last year. Catching a ton out of the backfield.
And Mixon. Mixon has been so disappointing this season. This is a good matchup against the Steelers. You can't pass on them. You can run on them. He is outgained, outtouched, outsnapped all of those other guys since the coaching change. The offensive coordinator since Bill Lazor has come in. He had his first rushing touchdown last week. He's $5,000. At that point, you're not going to be able to get a running back at that price. It's going to touch the ball 20 times. AP is in there as well. It's a good matchup.
That's the thing with
the
AP. I hate being that guy that chases being a day late.
But it's the matchup.
Short. But you just mentioned it. And I'm going to give my DK lineup in a couple minutes. I'll give you a little tease. I've got AP in the lineup.
You have to.
$5,800. They're giving up 32 points a game, guys, to running backs.
The most out of any team.
Like, there's no, it's not, now you're on AP's bandwagon. No, whoever's playing the Rams,
exactly.
Basically, there's no reason not to do this. And he's fresh. He's older, but he's fresh. He's in shape. He's got a chip on his shoulder.
Andre Ellington didn't practice today. Andre Ellington was limited yesterday.
And they don't want to throw the ball 50 times a game. He saw 26 carries.
Exactly. And it was good for Arizona. They came at you with more of a balanced attack. They didn't sit there and toss. They're getting their offensive line is getting a little bit healthy. They're getting guys back. So,
and you know, the other worst team is not San Francisco. And I have Elliott in my lineup as a flex. I looked at this and I hate his face. He's my fat cheeks and his...
And it looks like he's kind of getting a little bit of a gut.
Damn right, he's got a punch there.
but he's my number one ranked back this week.
I see that Elliott filed a restraining order to stay in the league. And it's the first time ever we've heard Elliott's name in restraining order when he's the one filing it.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right. What do you like this week in the NFL? Your Philadelphia Eagles Monday night?
The Eagles I've kind of been wrong on really all year.
I like, one thing about you Eagle fans I like. Unlike people like Reed, who are Patriot fans, who are like, blah, 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 we're so great, we're so great. I like Eagle fans. They're pessimistic.
Yeah.
I know, like, our boy Donnie Wrightside and Big Man on Campus, every week they think they're going to lose. They're like, we're going to lose.
They're going to lose.
Peterson's an idiot. And then they win, and they're like, we're the best. We're the best.
Yeah, listen, I thought they were going to beat Arizona,
like,
but I thought
Bills,
Arizona
actually
was going to cover. Yeah, this is exactly
every time
like
the Bills,
people,
I like your Bills this week. I'm like,
maybe.
They don't screw it up.
I thought that they would hang around in Carolina, but I thought Carolina was going to win that game. Now, I do think they're going to beat Washington, but I think Washington is going to hang around in that game. I think it's going to be a field goal game.
I'm calling upset special.
You're waiting for that flat spot with Philly.
They played well every week. All right, what do you like this week in the NFL? My best bet, I like the Miami Dolphins over the Jets. I think it's a good spot.
I'm in on the Bears. I like
you're
the
in
Bears.
On the Bears against the Panthers. Huh?
I do. Yeah, I like the Bears. I think they're an underrated team. I think they're an underrated defensive team. They're top 10 in passing yards against and total yards against. They've been a pretty good team, and they slowed the clock down. They run the ball. They ran the ball like 50 times last week. Howard had 36 carries. I know Carolina's a tough team to run on, but no Luke Kuechly in this game. That's
the thing.
Huge
Kuechly's out now. That takes Carolina off my pitch. Right, we got to get out of here quickly. But Montreal Canadiens obviously struggling. Worst goal differential to start a season since 1917.
Yeah, it's a bit
they're ranked dead last or next to dead last in every major category in the league, essentially. But with that being stated, they've been in a lot of games. Like, it's just
they've been in all of them, really.
It was 1-1 after 40 minutes the other night against
Except
the Kings.
For Washington.
So I'm looking, what's the Getzlaff out tonight most
Getzlaff
likely?
Getzlaff is very doubtful. Eves is very doubtful. Looks like they're going to get Lindholm back, maybe not Vatanen back
I'd take any under. I wish it was 5.5. Neither of these teams can score.
That's the thing. Like, the Habs
in the under tonight.
Habs are never I can't bet on the Habs. They've been in every single game, but
you know
the
what's
under,
crazy?
Under is a good bet.
I was like, I'm going to take the Habs, and I'm sure it'll be nice dogs. It's -110.
Yeah. Listen, I just will say this on the way out. For people who thought maybe the Habs would have a strong start, and 6 of the first 8 games on the road, 10 of the first 15, their two home games have been against Chicago and
that's
Anaheim.
True.
They've never
they've
done well
at
West.
Yet.
They haven't won in San Jose since 1999. They've lost 7 of their last 9 games in Anaheim.
So
it's a tough schedule to
start.
To
you media members that are freaking out and yelling about busting it up, chill out. Chill out, everybody. It's still early in the season, man. No need to get upset.
Yeah. I understand. They're going down the same path. They can't score goals,
that's
but
the
it's
thing,
been a tough
though,
start.
Reminded me of being in Montreal because I used to go crazy. And then, like, right after the show the next day, I'd think, oh, I might have kind of overreacted last
You
night.
Didn't. Like, I liked everything
but
you know, said yesterday.
But that's the Canadians. Like, it's a passionate scene, right?
I liked everything you said yesterday. Bergevin needs more heat. He's sitting there with the third most cap space in the NHL for a team that can't score. He's got $8.5 million just sitting there. I didn't like the patch already. Heat. I think he gets a lot of it. Listen, there's 7 more players on that team that make more money than him.
I know,
Three
no, and he
forwards.
Scores goals. I know.
It's just he gets the heat because he wears that C, and people think he's the reason that PK's out, and he might be the reason.
I gotta get a T-shirt. I stand with Guy.
Yeah,
Guy.
I stand with Guy too.
Guy Lafleur, the best. Like Bret Hart. Game time decision continues.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. All right, let's get to our Millionaire Maker lineup. But I got to be honest with you. It's been a pretty frustrating fantasy football season here for our DraftKings lineup. Every week, we've knocked it out of the park with a couple of great picks. If you notice, we never follow the trends. We don't take like these, you know, that, oh, and you have to have this guy, you have to have that guy. You know, we don't follow other people's rankings per se, and you know, we're not sheep. But we've been wrong every week. There's always been a player off here or there, an injury. We haven't had a lot of good luck this year with our lineups. But I got to tell you, this week the lineup came together very, very smoothly. I like it. We have legitimate reasons why we're taking each player, and I'm going to be able to back it up. Let's start off with Brett Hundley. Brett Hundley threw the ball 33 times last week. Why? Because they were trailing. What's going to happen now against the New Orleans Saints? The Green Bay Packers have a ton of injuries right now. There's a legitimate chance that the Green Bay Packers are going to be playing from behind in this football game. Brett Hundley's not Scott Tolzien, okay? The guy was a good quarterback at UCLA. He's a very, very good athlete. We just haven't seen him. He's been groomed for the last 3 years, but we haven't seen him. It's going to be a high-scoring game. The Saints give up 19 fantasy points a game to quarterbacks, which would be great even at this number, but I think he can give us more. And another thing is Brett Hundley can run the football as well, guys. And he's, you know, he's going to do whatever it takes to try to help the team win. I think he's going to be able to scramble a bit, throw 2-3 touchdowns. Not a lot of people are going to own Brett Hundley. And I like the over in this football game. I think it's going to be a higher scoring game. The total is 47.5. I wish he was a little cheaper, but I like where we're going here with Brett Hundley. Adrian Peterson. AP is back, baby. I don't know for how long, but he's back again this week. Listen, he's not going to rack up 134 and 2 touchdowns weekly, but there's no reason not to ride him here. The Rams give up 139 yards a game on the ground, man. That's insane for an NFL team to give up that many yards a game on the ground. They're giving up 32 points a game to running backs. Adrian Peterson's got to be in your lineup this week, as does LeSean McCoy. We saw AP go off last week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the same team that LeSean McCoy and the Buffalo Bills are playing. The Buffalo Bills have a way better offensive line than the Arizona Cardinals do as well. Tyrod Taylor has absolutely no one to throw the football to. LeSean McCoy has struggled the last couple of weeks, and there's a lot of yards lost and tackles for loss. But I think he gets back on track here, and the sheer volume makes us have to have LeSean in the lineup here. Not to mention, Tampa Bay gave about 24 points a game to the running back position. Jarvis Landry, man, this guy's a target machine. Cutler's hooking up with him. Devontae Parker, most likely, like 99% of chance that he's going to miss this game on Sunday. Landry, 13 catches, 24 targets, 2 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. I like this spot against the Jets as well. Give me Jarvis Landry. Jordy Nelson. This is as cheap as you've gotten Nelson all year, man. He was $8,100 a couple of weeks ago. You know what I like about this? Brett Hundley threw in the ball 8 times last week. It's not like Brett Hundley's not going to throw the ball to Jordy Nelson. It's just not Aaron Rodgers anymore. But Jordy Nelson's still going to be the guy. And as we saw last week, Hundley threw in the ball 8 times after the fact. I think he gets a touchdown or two in a high-scoring game. Sleeper here. We're going with Benny Fowler. He's shown flashes when he's been given a chance. Sanders is going to be out for the Denver Broncos. It's all but official. Fowler's the starting wide receiver alongside Demaryius Thomas. We've seen he's made plays when he's been on the field earlier this year. $3,300 against the Chargers. A nice play here for Benny Fowler. Let's go with Kittle. Kittle, man. 11 catches on 17 targets and a touchdown in his last 2 games. George Kittle's been getting it done. And what I love about this, C.J. Beathard's now the quarterback. C.J. Beathard and George Kittle were college teammates, man. They were college teammates. All right, in this football game, Elliott, man, he's going to eat a lot in this game. He annoys me. I hate his feed me crap. But the only team worse, like the Rams and the 49ers are brutally bad at stopping the run. They're giving up 30 points a game to the fantasy running back spot. Elliott, he's going to kill it. Give me the Bears because this is what we had left. And I actually like the Bears defense in this game against the Panthers. This is a solid lineup. We're going to win money this week. May the winners be yours.
Quarterback to receiver hookups. Running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at rotoexperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
All right, really got to be fast today. No screwing around. We got a lot of picks. Let's jump in. Houston Astros got to win this game, and I think they will win this game. Justin Verlander's 8-0 since he's been a member of the Astros. Make it 9-0. Astros get it done. College football, give me Western Kentucky Old Dominion over the number. Marshall's going to beat Middle Tennessee State on the road. I like the live home dog with Sheriff Lobo and the Lobos, New Mexico. Let's go over the number, Colorado State and New Mexico. Hockey, Diablos playing some great hockey. Give me the underdog Devils, plus 115. Montreal Canadiens have been struggling, but I think they're going to win tonight to shut jackasses like me up. Canadiens and the under 5. It's under 5 for a reason. NBA basketball, trust the process. Give me the Philadelphia 76ers and the over. Magic and the Nets, going to be a track meet of a basketball game. The Lakers suck. Give me the Suns and give me the over 218.5. May the winners be yours.